Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so, as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course. And we can't wait to see you there. Welcome to another episode of Becoming a Scrum Master. I'm Ryan Ripley. Joining me today is Will Seeley. Will, good to see you again.
Hey, Ryan. Long time no see.
Yeah. Will, of course, has been working with Todd and I on the evidence-based company and all sorts of other craziness. But let's jump right into the questions, Will. Can you share the story of how you first encountered Scrum and what motivated you to become a Scrum Master? And was there a particular moment or experience that sparked your interest?
So the interesting thing there is I encountered probably agility a long time before I encountered Scrum proper. So the first time I encountered Scrum, I was in a 2-year traineeship at Hewlett Packard. This was very early on in my career, just out of university, and I was working in software professional services. And one of the big clients HP had at the time started on an agile transformation. This was a large bank. And they said something that could be summarized as, we're going on an agile journey and so are our suppliers, or they are no longer going to be our suppliers. So very, very soon after that, being fairly new and having had some experience with agile work, my manager at the time, Lieselot, said, you're going off to a Scrum class. So you can understand this better and then help us understand it better. So they sent me off to a PSM, which was taught by Barry Overeem and Ron Eringa. Took that PSM and immediately got put on a project to build a networked supercomputer in Denmark. That was my very first Scrum Master gig. It went about as well as you can expect.
For a supercomputer project in Denmark, right?
For a supercomputer project in Denmark, all remote, with a team partially allocated, with a client that had never heard of Scrum before, with a team that had never heard of Scrum before, and one person with 2 days of class under their belts.
So it went great.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. So it blew up, right? It completely blew up. But the thing that I liked about it, right, that kind of really sparked my interest as this is something I want to pursue, was how fast it was clear that it was blowing up.
Yep.
Because we were doing 1-week sprints and our first sprint was a complete mess. We didn't get a backlog in place. We couldn't even get access to some of the systems. So we weren't able to deliver. And then the second sprint was a mess and we couldn't deliver. And then one of our experts had to leave because they were allocated to a different project. And so we couldn't deliver. And so 3 weeks in to what was meant to be a 6-month project, I could already signal back with the absolute lack of experience I had, you know, this is completely going to fail. Right. And I'm not equipped to do any of this. Right. And so that fast learning there of exposing issues that probably in a different environment, right? Having been a junior PM project manager as well, probably would have stayed hidden because we were still in requirements analysis, et cetera. But the fact that it immediately showed the mess that we were in really gave me this idea of this is worth pursuing. This is interesting. So I kept doing those projects. Unfortunately, HP kept doing those projects and we got better at it. So that's when I kind of knew, as much as I like technology, like I joined as a trainee, I was doing solution architecture at the time. That's kind of when I realized, like, okay, no, this is my passion. Like, I love technology, but this kind of stuff is where I get my energy from.
Nice. So was there a specific project or situation, and maybe you've kind of already talked through this a bit, where you had a eureka moment, something that made you realize the true power and potential of Scrum? And if so, could you describe that?
Yeah, so...
when did the Scrum sledgehammer hit you right in the face, Will?
So in retrospect, this ironically happened a few years before. When I was in university, and we myself and two others, as part of a course on entrepreneurship, started a company in data analysis. For us, we were looking at data from emergency services, and the first ask of that program was, make sure you have working product 3 weeks from now, which blew our minds at the time. Right, because we were still being traditionally educated in kind of traditional product management, but we got something working in 3 weeks, and it wasn't perfect, and it certainly didn't meet everything that our future customers were looking for. But it allowed us to go talk to customers and say, "Hey, here's stuff that we're working on," and then we had working product again 2 weeks later, right? Which still seemed ludicrous to us, but we made something, and that product, right, bad as it was, got us through the door at multiple companies to talk to people pretty high up, right, about emergency prevention and about how this might interface with insurance systems and those sorts of things. So, right, it wasn't Scrum proper, right? Certainly in retrospect, we could say, well, there definitely was a development team, there definitely was a product owner, but we were missing the events, we were missing the Scrum Master. But this idea of getting something done quickly, right, and the kinds of conversations and the kinds of value that created was super powerful. So later on in my career, right, and this is years later, further on in the journey I was doing at HP at the time, we were doing larger projects where when you added the rest of the elements of Scrum, right, now that you had a Scrum Master that had some failed things under their belts that could support others, now that you had a mandated product owner, now that you had a cross-functional development team, right, all those things made sense, and it allowed us to get the right conversations with our customers early on and find problems and fix them. And so yeah, that power of getting something done really was the eureka moment of, it doesn't have to be perfect, it doesn't have to be complete, it doesn't have to go to market, it just needs to be done so you can have that conversation.
Nice. So how has your perception and execution of the Scrum Master role or accountabilities evolved? Are there aspects of the role or accountabilities that you view differently now compared to when you first started?
So I think when I got started, I really had this idea of the development team, because it was still the development team at the time. This was quite a while ago. Is fully self-organizing, right? And you're there to help their process and guide them along and coach them along, and coach people in the environment to take away issues. And I was still very much a problem solver back then. And I think there absolutely are teams that really want to take on that full self-organization where you take a pretty passive coaching role, only pull approach. But what I see now as a Scrum Master is you need to adapt to where your team and your organization is. And sometimes that means taking on a very visible leadership role, right? Yes, we've all decided to do Scrum. Now we're going to do it professionally. So let's get that process on the road. Let's get something done. Let's make agreements for how we want to define our workflow, and holding them to account. It's still part of, I think, the coaching and facilitating role, but the mentorship and the leadership that it takes, I think, requires much more attention. And I think also looking back at 27, I wasn't a good Scrum Master. I didn't have the kind of experience. I couldn't be a leader of people at 27. I'm sure others with other life experiences probably could have, but I certainly wasn't there at the time. So I don't believe in the junior Scrum Master accountability anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a huge shift where, and I was talking to fellow PST David Sabine out of Canada on a past episode of Becoming a Scrum Master. And, you know, maybe the influx of project managers early on into Scrum coupled with the relegation of Scrum Master beneath Agile Coach probably led to this myth of the junior Scrum Master. At least that's the story that is in my head, and it not proven, not researched, really just off the cuff. But yeah, I think the shift is coming. You know, I've posted recently on the blog about your next Scrum Master should be your manager, which had mixed, either people loved it or hated it, not a lot in between. But perhaps that's where it's going, Will, that it's really, this is a serious job, or this is a serious set of accountabilities not to be picked up by someone who's never actually delivered something before. And, you know, maybe there's something more to it than just getting the coffee and scheduling the meetings.
I remember one of the very first conversations we had where you talked about kind of the road to doing Scrum Master work at a company. And I think you shared at the time that part of kind of the entry criteria for you was, I want to be able to sit with someone high up in the food chain for at least an hour a month, because I'm going to go and uncover things about this organization that I'm not going to be able to solve and that my team isn't going to be able to solve. And that was kind of that moment for me of yes, right? Because that is Scrum, right? Scrum is that flashlight you point in your organization that's going to find those imperfections. But when you realize that, and you have, and I'm going to exaggerate here a bit, but you have a 21-year-old recent graduate that said, well, you're going to be the Scrum Master for this team. Even if they get the hour a month, they're not able to have that conversation. They don't speak the language. They can't translate those problems. It's just not happening.
You have not suffered, so you cannot be helpful. I'm starting to believe that as I get older. It's, you haven't suffered through it, you probably shouldn't be coaching someone else on it. Yeah. So anyways, now that we've alienated half the audience, let's move on. So speaking of the newer Scrum Master, Will, so I think this is a good lead in, although we might have demotivated most of them. What advice would you give to someone aspiring to become a Scrum Master? Is there a particular mindset, skill, or habit that you believe is crucial for someone in this role or for the accountabilities? A background in education, a working experience, like what kind of things would you tell a Scrum Master, that someone aspiring to be a Scrum Master, that they absolutely must work on and what they must have?
So I think the core of being a Scrum Master is you have to lead by example. Right, you are uncovering things, and you should be willing to speak truth to power. And you should do that in such a way that people support you in this, that they are willing to follow you. And so probably my advice, strange as it sounds, is go do that a few times. Go find where the limits are. Go get fired a couple of times because you point out the things that people are very, very, that everyone knows, but no one wants to talk about because it's unpleasant, right? And the first time that happens, you'll find that you're all alone because you're unable to communicate that. And go do that again and now get people on your side, right? And get to that point where you are able to lead and reflect to people on how to improve in such a way that they're willing to follow you. And that's a good point where you turn into that Scrum Master. Does that sound too abstract?
No, I think it's good. Last one for you, Will. What is the one book every Scrum Master should read? Doesn't have to be an Agile book. Doesn't have to be a Scrum book.
No. Fixing Your Scrum would be the...
All right.
I'm a page shield. No. It's Dan Ariely's Predictably Irrational.
Okay.
Because you're working with humans. And the mistake a lot of us make, or probably especially people in IT or that come from the exact sciences, is we like to think of ourselves as logical, rational beings. That's just not the case. A Scrum Master role is highly political. And so understanding how people are irrational is critical to your development.
I like it. We'll get it in the show notes. Will, that's all for my questions. Anything you want to promote or put in front of the audience before we wrap this one up?
So maybe not entirely Scrum related, but we have just announced the first evidence-based leadership course in European timings for February 22nd and 23rd, which is now open for registration. So this is something new that we're creating, which I think is definitely something worth adding to the Scrum Master toolkit.
Yep.
If you are one. That would be my recommendation for a lot of people to take as part of their journey.
Yeah, EBM does certainly look like it's the future, doesn't it? And evidence-based leadership is a great application of it. Cool. Thank you, Will. Appreciate you being here. And hope we can talk again soon. All right, everybody, like and subscribe. Hit that bell so you never miss an episode. Check out the socials where you can learn more about what we've been up to. Some videos are going to pop up. It's our free Scrum Master 101 course and our free EBM 101 course. Get grounded in these great ideas and then join us for a class like Will mentioned. Be sure to leave your questions and comments below. Questions and comments drive the channel. And hey, you ask enough questions for Will, maybe he'll come back and answer them keep dropping some great knowledge. So for Will, I'm Ryan. Go forward, do some great Scrum things. We'll see you next time. Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!